When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to greet you quite literally live from one of the most, and I mean this sincerely, one of the most beautiful parts of the country. Let me make my point here. I drove along.
It's October 1990 at a live taping of The Phil Donahue Show, which at the time was one of the most popular talk shows in the country. The show is filming in a huge auditorium. In the video of this event, you can see that everyone is all smiles and cheering, like they're at a rock concert.
Now, wait a minute. I haven't even told them where we are. If this isn't Heartland, I don't know what is. I want you to know something else. If we don't make it here, we don't make it anywhere. This is Youngstown, Ohio.
The people here aren't just excited because Phil Donahue is in Youngstown. They're cheering like this because their local hero is a special guest for this broadcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, your Congressman James Traficant.
It was jammed. It was packed. Standing room only.
Bertram D'Souza is here to cover the show for the local newspaper, The Vindicator.
Anytime Traficant showed up at any place, there was always overflowing crowds.
The format of the show is familiar now. It's a televised town hall, the kind you'd see during a presidential campaign. Traficant walks onto the stage and takes his seat, wearing his signature skinny tie, no jacket, while Donahue's crew puts a microphone on him.
All right, we'll get you all wired up here.
I'll take this thing off if you don't hurry up here.
Donahue is sort of walking through the crowd. Most of the people in the crowd were Traficant supporters.
I'd like to ask the congressman, is he still sleeping on the couch?
No, I'm sleeping in an old wooden boat and I'm afraid it's going to sink.
Traficant, I just want to say you're doing a beautiful job and I'm praying for you daily and God bless you and just keep up the good works and I love the Phil Donahue.
I appreciate that.
Up the aisle from Donahue, at the edge of the camera's frame, you could see a man sitting in the last seat in his row. He's not smiling. He looks miserable. His name is Jim Callen.
Jim Callen was president of the Citizens League of Greater Youngstown, created to clean up politics in the Mahoning Valley. He believed that Traficant represented the worst of this region.
In fact, Callen started the Citizens League soon after Traficant was indicted for taking money from the mob.
I think you did a great job, Congressman.
Traficant for president, 1992.
And this love fest was all too much for him.
It was just turning into a circus.
This is Jim Callen today.
At one point, there was an exchange with Donahue. He says something.
I'm going to bet you a Big Mac.
Don't be betting, Phil.
I'm betting you.
You know, I'm still the sheriff around here, and there's quite a lot of that.
Traficant says, you know, I'm still sheriff. And Donahue comes with a microphone, and he's coming down, and I decide I'm going to stand up.
Jim, you said you're still sheriff. Does that mean that you're still taking money from the mob?
And the crowd exploded.
The people in this country need to know.
Then Phil Donahue came to Traficant's defense.
Let me respond to this fella.
The congressman was accused of taking mob money and beat the rap. He was found innocent. Now, wait a minute.
Another guy stands up next to Jim Callen. His name is Vic Rubenstein, and he grabs the mic.
Mr. Congressman, in all due respect to you, you told me when you first ran for office that you controlled the minds of the non-thinkers in this community. Why can't you go to Washington and control the idiot minds of the pseudo-thinkers in the nation's capital? Congressman, you're on.
Number one, the second fella has... just brought up a point that is ludicrous. He happens to be a member of a Jewish descent. The Jews are very upset with what I've done, and he's trying to take it out, and I'm not going to back down to any powerful group. Number one.
Congressman, what is the reference to Jews? Explain that to us.
At that point in time, there was a story about Jim Traficant in the news. He was fighting a very public battle. A crusade to free a retired Ohio auto worker named John Demjanjuk, a man who had been convicted of being a notorious Nazi war criminal.
Donahue's producer came to me and said, this Jew thing, what is it? And that's when I said it had to do with the Demjanjuk case, who was accused by survivors of the Holocaust of being the Nazi god Ivan the Terrible, who had been responsible for the deaths of thousands of Jews.
We want to know who Ivan the Terrible really is. If it's John Demjanjuk, put him to death. But if it's not, let's find out who Ivan really is.
Traficant insisted to me that this was a matter of fairness, that he was taking this case because he believed that this guy from Cleveland was being railroaded. He, among all of the members of Congress, was the only one willing to take on that. That resonated with his supporters and with voters in the Mahoning Valley.
We're in Youngstown, Ohio with Congressman Traficant. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm Mark Smerling, and this is Crooked City.
Jim Traficant is, to say the least, eccentric.
I got the impression that this guy's a little crazy, but very, very bright, and somebody who's in a rush to get things done.
Let's take care of our country. Let's use some common sense and put America first.
Mr. Traficant, amen, amen, amen. I think you are just right on.
There is a shadow over the name Jim Traficant. Does that bother you?
I don't fear the shadow. I know that shadow will limit me. I went down in the streets. I went right to the bowels, and I saw the cancer.
Chapter 11, Ivan the Terrible.
I'm Jim Traficant, former congressman from the state of Ohio, the number one target of American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee years ago.
This is from an interview Jim Traficant did around 2010. He's sitting in a diner, so it's a little noisy, but he's talking about the case that would make him, in his words, a target of Jewish Americans. It all started back in the summer of 1989, when Traficant was in his office in the Capitol building. Two men walked in.
I heard some conversation outside, and what caught my attention was that I heard someone say, well, he's not in, the congressman's not in, he's over on the House floor.
Traficant's staff were talking to the son and son-in-law of a former auto worker from Cleveland named John Demjanjuk. Demjanjuk was locked in an Israeli prison, and his sons were looking for help from anyone in the U.S. government who would listen to them. But Traficant's staff didn't want their boss anywhere near this.
One of my staff came in and says, don't let anybody know you're here. It's the Demjanjuk family from Cleveland, Ohio. The father's been convicted of being Ivan the Terrible of Treblinka, murdering over a million Jews at the Treblinka concentration camp.
Traficant had heard about the case before, but didn't know many details. From what he knew, John Demjanjuk's name had popped up on a list of possible Nazi war criminals living in the United States, who were being investigated by the Justice Department's Office of Special Investigations, or OSI.
A Ukrainian immigrant identified in court proceedings as a Nazi guard at the Treblinka concentration camp during World War II was stripped of his U.S. citizenship by a federal judge in Cleveland today.
Demjanjuk was identified as one of the guards at the Treblinka death camp in Poland. But not just any guard. Survivors from that camp said they recognized him as a man they knew as Ivan the Terrible. A guard who took sick pleasure in beating and torturing Jews before pushing them toward their deaths. Demjanjuk was arrested and extradited to Israel to stand trial, a trial that became an international spectacle.
The auditorium was packed with Holocaust survivors. The state attorney said 68-year-old Demjanjuk had killed hundreds of thousands of victims with unspeakable brutality. Accusations he still vigorously denies.
Survivors from the Treblinka camp took the stand and gave their testimony while staring directly at Demjanjuk.
This is Ivan from the gas chambers, the man I am now looking at. I saw his eyes. I saw those murderous eyes. I saw that face of his.
The country was captivated by the emotional testimony of these Holocaust survivors.
I see Ivan the way I remember him, the way he is in my mind's eye. There he is, just the way he is. Here he is, right in this very hall.
But this testimony was drawn from 40-year-old memories of what Ivan the Terrible looked like. There was little physical evidence. There was an old Treblinka ID card that appeared to show a young John Demjanjuk, but the authenticity of that card was called into question.
Throughout his trial, Demjanjuk insisted it was all a mistake, a case of mistaken identity, that he wasn't the prison guard killer from Treblinka, but was himself a former German prisoner of war.
I am not Ivan the Terrible.
Demjanjuk was seen repeatedly crossing himself as his trial and sentencing reached the dramatic end.
The court reached its verdict.
The punishment of death as stipulated in Section 1 of the Nazi and Nazi collaborators' law.
There was a moment's hesitation before the court burst into uproar with loud praise for the verdict.
An Israeli court today showed John Demjanjuk no mercy. The former Ohio auto worker was sentenced to death by hanging for brutal Nazi war crimes more than 40 years ago.
Demjanjuk's family vowed to continue fighting to overturn that verdict in the Israeli Supreme Court.
We will have new evidence, hopefully new eyewitnesses. We have Treblinka survivors residing in the United States that know John Demjanjuk is not Ivan the Terrible. We hope to bring them in. And all we can do is pray that the Supreme Court will have the courage to make a decision based on fact, based on law, and away from the emotion that surrounds this case here in the state of Israel.
It was at this point, after John Demjanjuk had been sentenced to death, that his son and son-in-law landed in the reception area of Congressman Jim Trafficant's office, looking for help.
I said to them, I said, why are they here? Well, they said they've been to all of their congressmen, and they've been to every Congress office in the United States of America. So I called in my chief of staff at the time, and he said, so you don't want to get involved with that.
This was a radioactive issue from the beginning.
West Richards was Jim Trafficant's chief of staff.
The Demjanjuk family, they had sought the help of Congressman Ed Feehan in their district.
And his district was very, you know, had a high Jewish population.
He didn't want to get involved with that.
And West didn't want Trafficant to get involved either.
It wasn't just me. There were others that tried to advise him. We never wanted Jim to go down that path.
He said this almost word for word. He said, if you meet with these two people, when the press is done with you, you'll never be a congressman again. You'll lose your seat over this. I said, send them in. So they introduced himself, John Demjanjuk Jr. and Ed Nishnik, the son-in-law. I said, you know, my pleasure to meet you. And I believe that every American should be able to talk to their elected leaders when they have a problem. However, I want you to know from the start here, your father has been convicted of most heinous crime. If he's guilty, I can go over there and pull the switch myself. So tell me your situation.
The family said the government is not doing the right thing here. And we have proof. And we need your help.
I decided to go ahead and look into the Demjanjuk matter on the strength of this family, whom everybody had just thrown aside.
In the 1970s, John Todd burst onto the evangelical scene with a shocking tale. He claimed to be a former witch, involved in a then unheard of secret organization called the Illuminati, and urged Christians to prepare for a violent world takeover.
First of all, the number one weapon in everybody's home should be a 12-gauge pump shotgun.
Hear the amazing story of one of the originators of the modern-day conspiracy theory, From Magnificent Noise and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Cover Up, the Conspiracy Tapes.
Time of gentlemen has expired. What purpose of gentlemen from Ohio arise?
Congressman Jim Trafkin decided to take on the case of John Demjanjuk, and he used his time on the House floor to draw attention to it.
Without objection,
Mr. Speaker, John Demjanjuk was a Cleveland auto worker. He was born in the Ukraine in 1920. He was forced into the Red Army in 1940. He became a German prisoner of war in 1942, and John Demjanjuk said he served and was in four prisoner of war camps till the end of the war. An Israeli court said no. They said he's Ivan the Terrible. He's in an Israeli jail, sentenced to death. I don't know the truth, but nobody else does. I'm asking for an investigation into the John Demjanjuk American citizen case and also into the actions of the Special Office of Investigation in this country.
Trafkin was never a fan of the federal government, especially if he felt that the government was targeting someone unfairly.
He was very vocal about his issues with the Justice Department because of his own personal experience, you know?
Trafkin's chief of staff, Wes Richards again.
He could relate to this somehow.
Trafkin's gripes with the federal government dated back to 1983, when he was put on trial for taking bribes from the mob. To win that trial, he railed against the FBI. And after his wages were garnished to pay the taxes on those bribes, he railed against the IRS. And he knew from his experience that his anti-government message was popular with his supporters. So it's possible Trafkin wanted to help Demjanjuk because he saw an opportunity to stick his finger in the eye of the government.
There's something inherently wrong now in our country. Because when you could just holler Nazi, and you could put a man through the loops and the hoops, where are we coming through as a country?
I think from his perspective, it was a clear-cut case of the United States Justice Department overstepping their bounds.
I think the Justice Department should come clean on this case. We must track down Nazi war criminals and put them to death, but we don't blindfold the Statue of Liberty and shred the Constitution to do it. I want to know who Ivan the Terrible really is, and Congress should want to know.
I guess it's not too hard to figure out why something like this would strike a nerve with him.
I immediately initiated an investigation through Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIAs, and everything come back classified.
To find out who John Demjanjuk really was, Trafkin needed access to the OSI's investigation. But that was not going very well, at least not at first.
The OSI apparently was really bad at shredding documents, and some people had tipped off the family anonymously that they were disposing of their documents behind their building near a McDonald's. The family, they nabbed about 50 garbage bags. Well, I was there when all the garbage bags came in.
Trafkin and West poured through what the Demjanjuk family had found.
Every piece, every letter, every document, and found some pretty compelling evidence that there may have been some weird stuff going on in terms of Demjanjuk being the actual Ivan the Terrible. All the evidence in black and white of what was sort of a cover-up.
One of the documents they found in the trash had never made it to Demjanjuk's trial in Israel. It was an interview the OSI had done with an SS guard at Treblinka named Otto Horn.
They showed Otto Horn these eight photographs of Caucasian males in their early 20s in uniform, of which Demjanjuk's picture was one of them. It says that he looked at the photographs at length, both of these independent reports now, and said one person looked familiar, but it wasn't Demjanjuk.
Trafkin felt that the OSI had deliberately withheld this evidence. Not long after that, one of Trafkin's FOIA requests came back, a case file full of interviews with other Treblinka guards.
All of them testified that Ivan the Terrible was completely different than John Demjanjuk. Demjanjuk was about 6 feet, blonde hair, young. The true Ivan had black hair, much taller, long scar on neck, and he was 9 years older. But when I got those two documents, it was evident to me that our government had violated the civil rights and human rights of an individual beyond reason. This man was going to be put to death for an act of which he was innocent.
Speaker, three Israeli judges said that John Demjanjuk was actually Ivan the Terrible of the Treblinka death camp. It appears that they may have the wrong man, but no one's listening. If he's Ivan the Terrible, he should be put to death. But they may have the wrong man, and America should not abrogate the citizen of its own in such a matter.
So you advised Shafkin to not pick up this issue?
Yeah.
How long after that did you find yourself in Warsaw?
Like 5 minutes. The Polish government was open to letting Americans kind of look through things.
It was the early 1990s, and the Soviet Union had just collapsed. Poland was coming out from behind the Iron Curtain.
And they wanted to make nice with America, so they let us in and they let us look at stuff. I was one of two of the first American citizens ever to be allowed into the basement of the Polish Justice Department to look at files from Auschwitz and Treblinka and so forth. I was traumatized by the photographs that the Poles had on file from the concentration camps. It was shocking. And we found more photographs of Ivan the Terrible, the real one.
And those photographs did not look like John Demjanjuk.
You know, it wasn't like a silver bullet, but we did get more affirmation that John Demjanjuk was not the real Ivan the Terrible who died in Treblinka shortly after the war.
It seemed the wrong man was on death row. But in his search, West came across other documents that presented a problem with the claim that Demjanjuk was totally innocent.
John Demjanjuk was in the camp. He was a Ukrainian guard. None of those guards were doing anything good. You're in that role, you're not doing good things. It's bad, really bad.
Demjanjuk almost certainly wasn't Ivan the Terrible, but he'd still been a guard at a Nazi death camp.
I'm glad now that the information that basically has been uncovered by my investigation is now getting a chance to be brought before respective courts of law in both America and in Israel.
What the congressman is referring to is evidence that may vindicate John Demjanjuk. It appears the United States extradited Demjanjuk to Israel on the basis of incorrect information.
Jim Trafkin and his staff had found evidence that John Demjanjuk was innocent of what he'd been accused of, that he was not Ivan the Terrible. Trafkin sent that evidence to the Israeli government, and they listened. The Israeli Supreme Court said they would make a decision on whether to overturn the verdict.
John Jr., son-in-law Ed Nishnik, and Congressman Jim Trafkin, you see them here boarding a plane for the first leg of what they hope will be their last journey to Israel.
I went to Israel at my own expense. When I got there, it was sort of like a rock star. Everybody knew who I was. All the newspaper and everything, here comes this congressman who made this hullabaloo, who causes great controversy. I even had a bodyguard. That night, in my room in Jerusalem, I got a call from the Israeli Supreme Court. It said John Demjanjuk would be released and delivered to me at the Tel Aviv airport the following day.
John Demjanjuk lost many battles, but finally he won the war. Now he's a free man after 7 years of solitary confinement.
The date was July 30th, 1993. The front page of the New York Times that day featured a photo of Demjanjuk. The headline read, "Acquittal in Jerusalem."
Trafficant ended up flying home with the former Cleveland auto worker after Demjanjuk won his freedom from the Israeli Supreme Court.
But John Demjanjuk was still a Nazi prison camp guard. He may not have been Ivan the Terrible, but for a lot of people, there wasn't much of a difference.
There was a big backlash from the Jewish community in America that maybe John Demjanjuk is not Ivan the Terrible, but he is terrible.
West Richards again.
And he likely did very, very bad things. So we are very angry with you for helping this person in any way, shape, or form. And I think that confused the congressman and upset him.
At that point, the newspaper, one newspaper article said, Traficant supports Nazi mass murder. Traficant is an anti-Semite, the number one anti-Semite in the world.
American Jewish leaders criticized Traficant. His congressional colleagues distanced themselves. But Traficant doubled down and refused to admit that Demjanjuk was anything but a victim.
I don't think he really handled it right. He just was upset and fought back a little bit, pushed back in the wrong way. It was tough.
And the more Traficant stood up for Demjanjuk, the more he attracted questionable allies.
Police took no chances and kept the KKK under tight supervision. They're here to say John Demjanjuk got a raw deal.
A local KKK chapter organized a demonstration outside of Demjanjuk's home shortly after he returned from Israel.
We're just here to support John. I mean, you know, I pity the man.
And now he says it's time to let Demjanjuk's past alone.
The KKK marched on Demjanjuk's lawn in suburban Cleveland as neighbors looked on from their driveways horrified. One man in a white hood and robe was carrying a hand-painted sign that said, in all caps, Traficant for President.
They marched for about 45 minutes under the watchful eyes of police. The demonstration was over as quickly as it began.
The more that Traficant was being called a Jew hater, the more right-wing groups in this country were rallying to his support.
Youngstown reporter Bertram D'Souza again.
Now, I do not believe he solicited the support of the KKK, but I do believe that Traficant sort of felt that, well, you know, if people want to stand up and support him, so be it.
Now home in Ohio, John Demjanjuk was free for a time. Some years later, he was extradited to Germany to stand trial for being a concentration camp guard. This time, he was convicted.
A Munich court has found a retired Ohio auto worker guilty of serving as a Nazi death camp guard during World War II. 91-year-old John Demjanjuk was charged with more than 28,000 counts of accessory to murder.
But Traficant, to the end, still supported him.
Behind closed doors, I think Jim believe that Mr. Demjanjuk was certainly in one of the camps, probably was a guard, and that, yeah, he was probably doing some wrong things.
Do you remember this Phil Donahue taping that happened in Youngstown?
Oh, yeah. I helped put it together. I was in the front row. It's surreal, the whole thing.
And now we're back with the Phil Donahue Show in Youngstown, from the beginning of the episode. The show was taped while Traficant was in the national spotlight for helping John Demjanjuk. During the show, Vic Rubenstein stood up to criticize Traficant.
Why can't you go to Washington and control the idiot minds of the pseudo-thinkers in the nation's capital?
But instead of answering Rubenstein's question, Traficant plays to the prejudices of the crowd.
Number one, the second fella, he happens to be a member of a Jewish descent. The Jews are very upset with what I've done, and he's trying to take it out, and I'm not going to back down to any powerful group. Number one.
Congressman, what is the reference to Jews? Explain that to us.
Let me say this, and this is very important to me. I've been called an anti-Semite. The next person in New York calls me an anti-Semite, I'm going to drive up there and punch him in the mouth.
Now the crowd's on its feet, some laughing at Rubenstein, some yelling. Rubenstein motions for the microphone.
The lady behind me, Mr. Congressman, the lady behind me said, you Jews, you attorneys, you blacks, you're all alike. That's what you bring out in people. Just the seed of hatred and the seed of bigotry that everyone carries around, you cultivate because you are a political opportunist.
Hey, Phil. And Phil, I want to answer that. I think I deserve an answer. Here's my answer. This is my answer.
Traficant lifts up his arms and mimes playing a violin on stage. Then the camera cuts to a close-up shot of a sign someone is holding. It's the same phrase on a sign held by a white-robed member of the KKK in support of John Dimaggio. It says, "Traficant for President." On the next episode of Crooked City, a new county prosecutor pushes back on the mob.
I said, no, I do not want the money. I ran to put an end to that crap.
And the mob pushes back on the new county prosecutor.
Almost immediately just started hearing things that I'm not going to take office. So the only way I don't take office under Ohio law is if I'm killed.
Crooked City is a production of Truth Media in partnership with Sony Music Entertainment. The show is produced by Catherine Sullivan, Zach St. Louis, Olivia Briley, and Alexa Burke. Ryan Swikert is our senior producer. Story editing is by me, Mark Smerling, and Ryan Swikert. Kevin Shepard is our associate producer. Scott Curtis is our production manager. Fact-checking by Donia Suleiman. Rick Kwan did the mix. Sound design by Zach St. Louis. Music by Marmoset. Our title track is Hurricane Heart Attack by The Warlocks. Continue the conversation with us online by tweeting at Crooked City Pod. That's at Crooked City Pod. If you've enjoyed Crooked City, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps other people find the show. And thanks for listening.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.